Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Feels like. Can't even cough anymore these days.
I can't even clear your throat.
Don't. Oh my God.
Yeah. We can all do it. Let's all do it now, quickly.
So dry. So dry.
Was that recording? What were the levels like on that?
This is the Hip Hop Saved My Life podcast. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Now sit back, because it's time for the podcast.
Welcome to Hip Hop Saved My Life. How are you, Rupert?
I'm very well. Good to see you again.
This is a bit of a situation here because we are joined by Ray Black. That's not the situation. It's lovely to have you. It's lovely to have you on. But normally, what happens is we do a bit of chatting between us, and then we introduce a guest. But I'm just going to get you straight in because we're doing a few in a row now. And then when Rupert and I do this, how have you been? Yeah. It's bullshit.
Yeah.
Because we've just been in the room together.
Yeah.
So apologies for that. But you're good, Rupert, yeah?
I'm good, yeah. And you seem well as well.
Yeah, I am well. Thank you very much. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good as one can be right now.
How's the COVID trigger warning? How's lockdown treating you?
We should record that as a sting.
COVID trigger warning as a drop. Yeah. Do you know, it's better now, but in the beginning, oh my God, like, it wasn't good. I binge watched the whole of Game of Thrones, like, 8 seasons.
I did.
I thought of doing that. As well. I never went in.
How long did it take you to watch the whole thing, though?
I was watching 2 episodes a night.
I was doing a lot more than that.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Like daytime.
Did
yeah,
you?
Like all daytime. Wow.
How many episodes did you watch in one go, do you think, the most? Like on your worst, I say worst day, best day.
On my best day, I think about 4 or 5.
4 or 5.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Can we just, do you mind? I'm just going to have a little bit of Game of Thrones chat here because
This is the pitch to get me to watch it for the next lockdown.
You've never watched it?
I've never done it.
Never watched a single episode?
No.
Okay, so I've got a few questions for you, if you don't mind, with regards to Game of Thrones.
Okay.
First of all, did you enjoy it?
Surprisingly, yeah, because usually I hate stuff like that.
Me too. Me too, but I did like it. What did you think about the accusation that season 7 and 8 were a rushed mess?
Do you know what? I feel like because I watched it all together at once, it didn't feel like that. Whereas people have been watching this for years. They've been waiting their whole lives for this like pinnacle moment. Whereas I was like, fair enough.
Yeah.
Like, fair enough.
I can't remember any of the names of the people, but the... I'm about to do spoilers. I can't do spoilers.
No, we can't do spoilers.
If you're not watching by now, fucking what?
Your problem. That's a you problem.
But when she flips at the end, I felt like they needed more time to set that up. You know, that her heel turn.
Yeah.
When she starts like massacring the city or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I just thought, all right, okay, I kind of get this is where this is going.
Yeah, it was a lot at once.
Yes.
It definitely was packed into
It felt like a sensory overload.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas before that, like seasons 3, 4, and 5 are some of the best television
I've ever watched. Yeah.
I'm sold.
Are you?
Yeah. So I just go straight into season 3, yeah?
No.
Oh, right.
No, because there's a lot of world building that you need to... Absolutely do not do that in terms of understanding what's going on. Did you have a favourite character?
Yeah, quite a few. Do you know what? Obviously, like, he's a villain, but Joffrey?
You liked Joffrey?
No, not liked. Oh, were you saying who I liked?
Well, favourite character.
Oh,
well,
okay,
I mean,
okay.
No, but you can interpret that however you want.
Okay,
so you like,
actual favourite character has to be... What's her name? The one with the white hair. Dracarys! That one.
Dracarys, yeah.
Is that her name? That's not her name.
No, Dracarys is... Dracarys is what she says. That's a dragon instruction.
Yeah.
It's like saying...
The one that says that.
It's like saying, is her name Heel?
That's a good name.
What's her name? The icy...
Oh, fucking hell.
The buff ting.
She's like the main person.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you don't know the name.
No.
Okay, whatever, her. Yeah. That's your favourite.
That's my favourite, yeah.
Do you like Jon Snow?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I would say Jon Snow's strong second.
Okay, we are going to talk about hip-hop and your career and stuff in a minute, but... what did you think about him coming back from the dead? He comes back from the dead, spoiler alert.
Right, you've ruined the whole thing. Because that is such a
and
moment.
Yeah, it's such a moment. Huh?
People listening to this podcast who might not have seen Game of Thrones.
Oh my God, if people are listening to a hip hop podcast and getting angry about a Game of Thrones spoiler, I don't want you listening to this. I mean, fuck it now. Do you know what I mean? What did you think though? Were you happy?
Of course, that's like the love of my life when I was watching that. Mm. So when he died, I genuinely felt it. Like, oh my God, like my baby.
I was surprised.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when he came back, I was like, it's like a moment like, come on.
I'd hate to have that taken away from me by already knowing that was going to happen when I was watching it. I think it would ruin
it. No, I would have been so upset, if someone spoiled that while I was watching it.
Yeah, it would have been devastating. Hey, Now, listen, it's a proper honour to have you on the podcast, man. Like, super talented. Too talented to be on the show, really, which is both a compliment to you and a damning indictment of all the other guests we've had on. what were you doing when lockdown hit, like, music-wise? Were you writing new stuff? Were you making new stuff? What was going on?
So I had basically just finished making my album.
Right.
It's my first ever album. And so I was like, oh, phew, dodged the bullet, like, because studios, everything closed down.
Mm.
So I was more sort of in the creative stages of, like, talking about videos and stuff like that. So I actually ended up shooting a music video, like a lockdown home style video, and that was trash, basically.
You didn't put it out?
No, it was not good.
Was it just you and your fat watching Game of Thrones?
You know, most of the time you hear those stories like that, it's like, and you know what? Despite the restrictions, we came out with something so... And you know what? In a way, I'm glad it happened because the video is so much better than it otherwise would have been. That's how that story normally goes. But it was trash.
It was so trash.
So what was the concept?
So basically, the concept was sick. It's meant to be a 3D world. So they recreated like CGI shit, all of that, whatever.
Right.
Recreated my whole area, right?
Yeah.
That sounds sick. And that part was sick.
Right.
This is the part where it went left is... So it was meant to be like it goes down the road and goes to like one of the flats and then goes through the window. And then that would be the part I recorded myself at home on a GoPro. Mm.
And what was your GoPro experience up to this point?
Absolutely nothing. Not a fucking thing.
So you didn't press record?
Listen, you don't understand, like, so malfunctions everywhere. Like, I also had to, my house was a bomb site because I was building stuff to put the GoPro on, you know, like put a shoebox on top of a fan on top of whatever. So it was just so like haphazard. And it just, when I saw the final product, I was like, you guys actually think this is good?
Oh my
like,
God. So hold on, who did you watch it with?
Well, I watched it by myself.
Okay. And then you cried a little bit.
I cried a little bit. No, do you know what? I actually was stressed out because I put so much effort into that. Like, I basically was like director, producer, set designer.
Yeah.
Everything.
So you watched it on your own.
Yeah.
And then who did you watch it with after that?
Then I sent it to a friend. Obviously, my team had seen it. And do you know what? The thing is, everyone else was like, it's not that bad.
This is great.
Given the circumstances.
Yeah. Do you know what? Can I just say, when people say given the circumstances, it's over.
That means
right,
it's
because people don't watch, I've never watched something going, I wonder what this is like despite the circumstances.
That's
people
like
don't give things that consideration.
The grace, exactly.
Yeah.
That's like in comedy when someone says, it looks really good.
Yeah. Do you know Adam Buxton? I did Adam Buxton's podcast, and he was talking about Have I Got News For You?
Right? Okay, yeah.
And he said he had a fucking shocker. Like, he didn't say anything, and like, that he didn't make the edit. And then, it wasn't even that he didn't make the edit. In the record, he was just having a nightmare. And then his agent was there, because obviously they're very excited about him doing Have I Got News For You? And then when he walked off, she went, you looked very handsome.
And then patted him on the head.
So you watched the video and everyone said, oh no, it's good.
Yeah, given the circumstances. And I was just like, that's not what people are going to say. Like, especially YouTube comments will rip you to shreds. So I was like, no,
but you shouldn't read. I mean, you shouldn't read those.
No, you shouldn't read. Even if it's good, there'll be negativity there for sure. But like, if it's subpar, people are going to say it is. They're not going to be like, you know what? She was at home alone in her room. Yeah.
There's a pandemic, guys. And it looks like she hasn't really used a GoPro before. So why don't you cut her some slack?
Exactly.
Something like that.
Have you shot a replacement then? Or reworked it?
Yeah. So we shot a whole different video because lockdown restrictions relaxed a little bit. And that video is sick. Yeah. Out today, actually.
Out today?
Yeah. You regret the day that you left me. This will be the last time. You told me the last time you was done bringing home stress to me. Ain't nothing to talk about, I'm talking now. Trying not to curse you out, I'm walking, yeah. I might put up in something vicious. Remind you of just what you missing, yeah. Make you so sick, might need prescription. My wrist glove cost me double digits. Woke up a fucking villain. Out now.
Is there a constant
stream? So
it's the making of the first video.
Yeah. It's just you with a hammer smashing the fuck out of a GoPro. Just pure rage.
Could have been. No, but it's basically I wanted to. It's more about the feel and the energy of it for me.
Yeah.
I wanted to channel, God, an alter ego, which sounds so lame, but I feel like we all have alter egos, like a different side of us that you kind of, you just don't show. And I wanted to show that side of myself where it's like really amped up. I'm like dancing on a G-Wagon and it's very gangster, not gonna lie. I think people are gonna be surprised with the energy.
Did you, how does it work when you get a G, is it your G-Wagon?
No.
So I...
That's just only like slightly out of my budget.
Oh, is it? Okay. Because I don't know why I'm talking about G-Wagons now, but I'm just... So we were looking for a car.
Yeah.
We went to the Mercedes garage.
Yeah.
And they had a G-Wagon there.
Yeah.
And he told me that when it arrived at the garage, they drove it around the car park, figuring out where to position it, and that took a quarter tank.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how long they're
He's
driving.
A good salesman.
Huh?
He's a good salesman.
Well, I think he looked at what I was wearing and he thought, this guy's not in the fucking G-Wagon market.
He said, this is the one that Ray Black stood on.
Yeah. There's a couple of marks on the bonnet there, a couple of scuffs. And what's the deal with the album? What can you tell us about the album?
So, the album, what can I say? It's a lot about my story, things I've experienced within the music industry. It's got a lot to do with like trust issues. I won't say the title, but it's just also about not letting people in because of the fear that they'll let you down, fear of disappointment and being disappointed by people anyway. So it's like being proven right. And so putting your walls up, putting your guard up. And then also people not allowing me into certain spaces in the industry as well.
So do you feel like that's happened? I mean, obviously you do, otherwise you wouldn't do an album with that. What an insane
risky
question.
It's a risky concept.
So is that all just shit you made up?
No, it's facts. It's 100% facts, definitely. I think a lot of other Black female artists in the music industry can relate to feeling like there's a bit of a ceiling for you, or you are kept in a certain box, expected to do a certain thing, or people try to mold you to fit what they believe makes sense, or just don't let you in, to be honest, don't give you an opportunity because they feel like, well, you don't, like, Black females don't sell music, so...
Is that what the music industry thinks then? Because when people hear that argument that you're putting forward there, they think, well, I know loads of...
Beyonce,
I know loads. Yeah,
guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Rihanna.
So yeah, but that's what I mean. So what happens is then people just go, well, that's just because whenever that kind of thing is said, people want to believe that's just made up. Do you know what I mean? That's just a perception. Mm-hmm. So what do you say to people like that say that? You know, because people just sort of think, well, that can't be true.
Do you know what? That's the issue of people living in their own bubble. Yeah. Like you just live in a bubble where when something doesn't affect you, you just don't know. So you can't say it's not real. You can't tell me my experience isn't real unless you're living in my shoes, to be honest. And I think the vast majority of Black females in the industry have also echoed those feelings.
Yeah. So, and those are what? Those are that you're, that there's a certain level of image control or trying to pigeonhole you, or what is it?
Yeah, do you know what? The image control thing isn't even the main thing. I think it's just the lack of support from industry insiders. There's gatekeepers in all industries. And I think for a long time, like, and since, I don't know, Estelle, people like that, Estelle, Miss Dynamite, there's not been anybody else allowed that level of access. And so I feel like that's the main issue, is people aren't opening doors. But they're giving more opportunities to other demographics, you know, people. So, yeah.
And is that something you feel has changed for the better recently, or is it still the same?
I think it's too soon to tell. Do you know what I mean? Like, we only just had this whole BLM movement happen in this lockdown, and I feel like the real change is long term. It's not like a quick fix.
It's always a funny one, that, isn't it? Because when all the BLM stuff was happening and people putting their black squares up on Instagram and shit like that, and at that time everybody was talking like this is gonna elicit real change and stuff. But I do think you hit the nail on the head. It felt like it got that got forgotten about very quickly. And then you sort of think, well, now we're going to find out if people are actually going to really commit to the things that they said are going to change. Because you're right, isn't it? It's you get a lot of people get frightened to not say something. So they go, yeah, no, this is something I feel strongly about. but then the actual thing, the actual proof is when in the fullness of time, whether actually changes do happen.
Yeah.
And we'll see, won't we?
100%.
Yeah, but it was but did you find, I mean, I don't know how vocal you were about it, but like, I did a thing. So I do this show called The Ranganation, and the protests and all that kicked off while we were doing the series. So I said, I want to talk about it. And so that we did this monologue at the top of the show, and I talked about this, people saying all lives matter and why I thought that was bullshit and blah, blah, blah. So a lot of people said thanks for saying that. They were just sort of like, it was good that you tackled that.
Woo.
But the stuff I got against, oh my God,
really?
Man. I got a death threat.
What?
Right? Wow. Mate, somebody said, I got this message on Facebook saying, all lives matter, you piece of shit. right? And then it goes, I'm going to find out where you live and kill you.
Oh my God.
And then I clicked on his profile because I thought this kind of guy might want to add.
And friends.
Yeah, yeah. And his profile was like just a totally like normal. He didn't look like, you know, I was expecting to see some militant.
Yeah,
just
that's
like
a scary thing.
Just went to the kebab shop to beat up some foreigners the other night. It wasn't like that. He was like a regular, he looked like a wholesome family dude. Do you know what I mean?
Did you report him to the police?
I did actually. I reported him straight to the police.
Yeah, good.
And they said, we'll deal with it straight away. They said, they said, thank you so much for bringing us our attention.
God.
We've not got a lot of other shit going on at the moment. Yeah. So we are going to tackle this straight
immediately.
Away.
Immediately.
Yeah, no, they were good. They were good. They were good. So when does that come out then?
So the single is out now, video out today, album out next year.
Right.
Yeah, like, I don't have a date, but.
See what happens
next year. Let's say first half. Yeah, right. We'll see what happens
first
in this
half
world.
Of next year.
Yeah,
so depending on what happens in the world.
We'll see. I mean, who knows now? Like, life is unpredictable. You can't even make projections anymore.
No, I know.
Would you go on tour with that as well? That was the ambition.
Yeah, that is the ambition. It's just so scary. I'm like, when will we be able to tour? People are booking tours now for next year, and I'm like, we don't even know what the situation will be, and I genuinely miss it. And I didn't think I would be saying, oh, I miss being on tour and stuff, because as much as I love performing, before I get on stage gives me a lot of anxiety. And so I'm surprised now that I'm like, I miss the band.
I want it back.
You know what I mean? I'm very grateful. I feel like this period has made me grateful. Like, all that stuff I took for granted, I'm like, I need that back.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. But like my wife, the other day, she said to me, I was talking about like lockdowns, and she goes, you know, I don't even know when I'm going to feel comfortable going to a theatre and watching a show. I said, you better fucking hope other people feel differently. Because the walls in this house fucking depend on it. I said, a comedian's wife isn't sure when she's going to go and watch live stuff. If that's the case, we are fucked.
She's not even coming to your show. No,
I know.
She didn't anyway.
No, Romesh, I hope it goes well. But I'm not going to roll the dice on my life. Oh God. Well, listen, let's hope it's all who knows, man. I've got tour dates in for January. They ain't gonna happen. I reckon it'll be March at the earliest.
Yeah. That's how it's looking.
I did it like. Have you done any socially distanced gigs?
No, I haven't. Do you know, I did a little performance on YouTube, actually. It was like a live YouTube stream. I did one for Colours. And then I did like my own thing on IG Live as well. And people, like, they feel that. I feel like they miss being at those places as well.
Yeah.
It's not really the same, though, like me and like my family pictures in the background.
I know, it's so weird, isn't it?
It's exposing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just, then you just turn it off and you're on your own.
Yeah. It's so bad. No, because I was doing, like, I started to do like Zoom gigs, right?
Yeah.
They started putting Zoom gigs. And then like, I'd be in the middle of gigging and think, I'm just sitting in my garage shouting at my laptop. It's fucking bananas.
You should just film that from that angle. Just seeing
you know
that.
When you sort of actually reflect on it?
Yeah.
Like, this ain't... Nobody should pay to watch this. What the fuck? Oh, God, it's awful.
Oh.
It's so bad.
Here's a little bit that we like to call How Did You Get Into Hip-Hop?
So, listen, what music are you into? Are you a straight hip-hop fan? Are you into all sorts? Or what's kind of your deal?
Yeah, no, I'm into all sorts. I've loved hip-hop from when I was really young. Like, I always say... even till today, I listen to a lot more hip-hop than I do R&B.
Right.
And I'm an R&B singer. And my writing, the way I write music, is influenced by hip-hop. And when I was coming up, people would always say, oh, you write like a rapper.
Right.
And it's because, well, I do rap as well, but that's just what I took in. So I was really focused on lyricism and wordplay when I was writing songs. I grew up on that and I loved that.
How did you sort of get into hip-hop? What was your sort of start?
MTV Bass, to be honest. MTV Bass. It was like a religious thing. I'd come back from school, I'd set up the high chair, put on MTV Bass and just watch it for hours and just try and pretend I was those people I'd see on TV.
Yeah.
And yeah, and I fell in love with just the music, of course, but the music videos as well, because that creates like a whole persona, a whole culture.
So
I fell in love with all of that, and in particular female rappers.
Right. Was it, who stood out for you then?
I mean, Lil Kim, of course. Mm. Of course, because I had never seen somebody like a woman like that with like different colored hair and being so explicit and embracing her body in the way she did.
Nick, better grab a seat. Grab on your dick as this bitch get deep. Deeper than the pussy of a bitch 6 feet. Stiff dicks feel sweet in this little petite. Young bitch from the street, guaranteed to stay down. Used to bring work out of town on Greyhound. Now I'm billboard bound. Niggas press to hit it. Play me like a chicken, thinking I'm pressed to get it. Rather lose the killer.
Missy Elliott, of course, just because as much as she may not appear as somebody who is, I don't want to use the wrong word, but she doesn't sexualize herself, let's say physically, but in her lyrics it's very confident, it's very like brazen as well.
She was always like, I don't know, we haven't talked about Missy Elliott at all on this podcast, to be honest with you, but when you do talk about her, I think every single record she's put out has been ahead of its time. Like every single time without fail. It's one of those where the first time you listen to it, you go, what the fuck is this? And then you suddenly go, oh, I get it now. And she does that consistent. She's done that consistently throughout her career, hasn't she?
When the rain hits my window, I take it. Me some, me and Timberland, ooh, we sang a dangle. We so tight that you get our styles tangled. Sway your do-si-do like you loco. Can we get pinky tonight like Coco? So-so, you wanna play with my yo-yo? I smoke my on the D-Lo.
Yeah, trailblazer in so many different ways. Like her style of rapping, even just representing like bigger women. I heard something or read something where she was talking about the music video for I Can't Stand the Rain. I've forgotten the other name of that song, but I Can't Stand the Rain, and apparently the record label telling her like, you need to lose weight, like you need to appear this way, it's not gonna sell if you don't, you know, look like so and so. And so that's why she decided to wear that big sack.
Oh wow.
Because it was like a big fuck you, I'm gonna be larger than life to piss you off even more. And the style of everything as well. And I love the combo of her and Timbaland.
Yeah.
That just meshed so well. And it was a sound in itself that other people tried to recreate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, my agents, when I started talking about, I started to do exercising and stuff like that. And they actually were concerned that I might get in shape.
So a buff comedian isn't really a thing.
There are, but do you know what? There are buff comedians now, and they do great work. But
no one's watching.
But it's more difficult, I think.
So were they worried you'd become less funny?
I think they were taking the piss. I think they were taking the piss, but they did say.
So you put on a big puffy suit.
No, I didn't.
It's a thing people say, though, isn't it? I've forgotten the name of the actor, but I think he started losing. Is it Zach something? I don't know. But he lost loads of weight.
Zach Galifianakis.
Lost loads of weight. And I was like, oh, he's not going to be funny anymore. Yeah. Like, what?
Yeah. And also, sometimes it's sort of when people lose loads of weight, and the last time you saw them, they were bigger, and then you see them, they've lost loads of weight, you sort of got to check if
they're all right.
They're all right.
But you can't say anything.
You look good.
It looks good.
That's so true.
Actually, Little Kim. You know, I know you talked about Missy Elliott not sexualizing herself. Mm-hmm. And Little Kim does, right?
Yeah.
But there was something pioneering about that. Because if you think about the female rappers that had come before her, they were great, but also it was very much kind of, they didn't sort of dress as feminine as Little Kim.
Yeah.
Whereas Little Kim was like, I'm going to be super feminine and sexy and make that a virtue of what I do. But also, I'm going to be fucking great at rap, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It was that thing where you sort of go, this is, it was new at that time. And so many of the rappers that we have now
follow that. It's a blueprint. Yeah, for sure. I feel like it's just because at that time, and I say at that time, but still now, there's this thing where people just don't have as much respect for female rappers. And so I'm sure before Little Kim, they felt like, okay, I have to appear like a man. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, at least
so they can understand it. Like, okay, cool. Yeah, she's like hood. She's one of the man them. Do you know what I mean? So I can mess with it. But she completely changed that, where it's like, no, I'm going to embrace my femininity and my sexuality, and I'm going to be very glamorous as well, but everything I'm saying is going to be hard hitting, and I can even go bar for bar with the men.
She was a pioneer in that way. Have you been following, just in as we're talking about people that Little Kim paved the way for, have you been following Cardi B's birthday party?
Yes.
Yeah, she's like on a sort of 4-day bender, isn't she?
Yeah.
It's her
Insta stories.
Yeah, she knows what she's doing there.
Yeah. But the fucking amount of money. Have you been watching the Insta stories?
I've seen some of it. Yeah.
So they got.
Would she have a party?
Yeah,
first?
But I think Playboy. Did Playboy throw the party?
Yeah,
or something?
Yeah,
or
yeah.
There's a bit where it's her and Offset, who,
they'd split up.
Life, man, life.
Yeah.
We all have dysfunctional relationships.
Yeah. Sometimes you're in a pandemic, you think, I need some comfort. And that comfort comes from Offset. But there's a bit where, and by the way, you turn up to your other half's birthday party, you don't expect it to be at a strip club.
Yeah.
Right. That's my bag. Yeah. I think that'd be sick.
I know, but it's so unexpected. It's just like, okay, let's make up. We're going to go to come to my birthday party. You think, oh, what's it going to be? Oh, it's going to be a strip club. Oh, cool. And then there's like all the Insta stories, just the money. Carpet. You can't see any carpet underneath, just the cash. They've got the cash guns and all that shit.
Yeah. Oh, that looks sick, man. So I went to a strip club when I was in Miami. That was my first strip club I went to.
Right.
And it was King of Diamonds, which is notorious.
Yeah.
And that's where I saw all of that. And I was actually amazed by it. Like, it's a talent, you know, like it's a real skill stripping. Like, they spin on their head. They climb the ceiling. I'm like, yeah, they deserve that money that they're thrown.
Yeah.
But it's also like, the throwing money thing is like a status symbol, you know, like someone comes through with the box of like, I don't know, 50 grand in ones.
She did a photo on us of like a box with like with her foot just on, like, you know, like I'm treating us like shit.
I mean, she's a boss, man.
Yeah. We were filming in Atlanta once. And my uncle was with me. He's like in his like late 50s or something like that. And we were having like a rap party. And so they were going to go to this strip club in Atlanta, right? But it's not a joke strip club. What it is like, I don't think there's a single stripper there that's under 50, right? That was like the gimmick of the thing, right?
It was a nursing home.
It was a bit. Like sort of during the day, they sort of hand out cereal and easy to chew biscuits.
Yeah, yeah.
And then at night, they put the music on and the poles drop down. It was like that. So it's that one. So we were so, but it's like a fun thing. It's like Atlanta's oldest strip club or whatever. So and it's got all the it's got all the original workers.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound as bad as the one I went to when I was in Ghana.
Yeah.
That was hilarious.
You went to a strip club in Ghana?
I did. No, do you know what? The one that was worse was the one I went to in Jamaica, because it was in like the country as well, not like the city. And the women, they just didn't give a shit. Like, she was smoking on stage, like, walking around, just chilling. At one point, she went on her phone.
Did she? I was going to say that as a joke. She actually did that.
On her phone. She's then like, oh, okay, I should continue dancing.
Wearing clothes.
That was wild.
Yeah. Fully dressed. Starting to put clothes on at one point. That's how much she was disrespecting the art.
What happened with your uncle then?
So he just heard strip club, Atlanta.
Right.
And he like got like sort of excited.
Mm. Yeah.
And then when we went into the club, it was funny because he was disappointed, but didn't want to show me that he was disappointed, because that was sort of that would belie his sort of pervert instincts. Mm. So I watched him, kind of his face kind of drop. I was like, having a good time. Yeah, really good.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Hey, marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Hey, man, what's your favorite hip-hop album?
So what would you say are your favorite hip-hop albums then of all time? Have you got any that spring to mind?
Every single Kanye West album ever.
Okay. Every single Kanye West album.
Yeah.
Can you rank them?
My favorite, of course, has to be Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. Greatest piece of work.
Mm-hmm. I'm living in that 21st century, doing something mean to it. Do it better than anybody you ever seen. Do it. Screams from the haters. Got a nice ring to it. I guess every superhero need his theme music. No one man should have all that power. The clock's ticking, I just count the hours. Stop tripping, I'm tripping off the power.
Second would be Late Registration.
Okay.
I'd say for me, it's just got classic energy. After that, I'd say The Life of Pablo.
Yeah. And I'm going to tell you something now. I wasn't sure about Life of Pablo. And you, I'm going to give you credit here. You kept saying to me, listen, mate, it's a great album.
Incredible.
And eventually, it's difficult because I was enjoying the album. But also that means that Rupert was right. So see how you suddenly got like a...
It's always horrible. Tainted. Yeah.
It's a real moral dilemma for me.
Yeah, no, Life of Pablo is lit, undeniable. And then, this is the one that people really disagree with, is Yeezus. That, for me, is the next best one.
What do you think?
I don't know it as well.
Well, I mean, that speaks volumes. I didn't listen to it after I fucking threw it in a bin after I was there.
But
didn't,
I need to,
you know what I thought about
Yeezus? Spend some time with it.
That sounded horrible. Your phrase.
I take my own advice.
Just spend some time with it. Just imagine you sort of oiled up with it on.
In a strip club. Just hugging
the cover to your chest.
Throwing a load of notes at myself.
No, but do you know what? I think Yeezus came out around the same time as Jay-Z brought out Magna Carta.
Yeah.
And everybody was raving about Magna Carta. and talking about how Yeezus sounded like a mess.
Mm-hmm.
But at least, not at least, Yeezus is a great album. But he took a risk.
Yeah.
Right? In a way that Jay-Z didn't. I'm not criticising Jay-Z.
Mm.
I would never do that. But it was, you know, that was a safe album by comparison, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, no, definitely. But that's what Kanye West has always been, just like a risk taker, trailblazer, mm. even with like 808s and Heartbreaks.
Yeah.
That was a new thing that people hadn't heard before. Even just when he first came out, like a backpack wearing rapper that was really into fashion.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And now we see like other rappers express that they're into fashion, yeah. like in their music. And
now
it doesn't.
Now you don't even bat an eyelid, do you?
Exactly, but, yeah. exactly. And I think I always expect him to do the unexpected, reinvent himself. And I think for me, the greatest superstars, people that we look up to, whether it's like Madonna, Prince, whatever, they reinvent themselves or change up their music or try new things. Yeah.
Is there any of his albums that you don't like?
No. I'm a stan though, like.
Yeah. What about this? What's this latest one called? The religious one?
Jesus is King.
Yeah. Do you like that?
I do. Yeah. Mm. I slap that one in the morning.
Yeah. I mean, you've been quite clear about it that you like. I don't know why I keep insisting on interrogating you on this. What about College Dropout? Do you like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I like all of them. Yeah.
Actually. Every single one.
No, I'm pretty. Sure. I said they're like the greatest hip hop albums.
Literally every song. I don't think I've heard a bad Kanye song.
What? So my problem, not my problem. I agree with you completely. I think Kanye is like a true artist. Do you know what I mean? And I think that people are sort of coming around to that way of thinking, I think, because a lot of people just sort of went off him. But he's difficult, isn't he? You know, he's a difficult person to engage with as a fan because of the shit he comes out of. Has that been a problem for you or not?
This is where I realised I'm actually a stan, is because I don't ever, like, I'm never like, he's crazy, or this is, of course, if he, like, when he gets into politics and I'm like, okay, let's slow it down a little bit.
Yeah.
But I really agree with a lot of the stuff he says about himself when it comes to his music, when it comes to his artistry. Mm. And I think, like, people just have a problem with somebody knowing how good they are at something.
Yeah.
We always want, especially British culture, we want people to be humble as fuck. Like, yeah, no matter who you are, nobody wants you to celebrate yourself. And he's very open about the fact that he thinks he's a genius. And I'm like, but you are. So, rightly so.
He switched that up, though, because I remember when College Dropout came out, he was complaining that it wasn't winning as many awards as he thought it should.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember him being asked about that. And he said, it's just that I really put my heart and soul into this album. Aww. And he goes, I don't know if I'll ever make something as good as this again. And so if it doesn't get all the recognition I want it to, look at you. I mean, if I'm just quoting him and you're like losing your mind. Right. And he said, you know, I don't know if I'll ever make anything as good as this again.
Yeah.
So that, and that to me was like, that's a way of going, you're sort of covering yourself there, because that sounds humble to me. And then later on, he just went, oh, fuck that. I'm just going to be like,
drop the humble.
I really think it's great.
But do you know what? I feel like more artists need to be that real so that people understand that, like, artists are humans, you know, and like can be crazy or can be overly emotional, do have random outbursts, just the way everybody else does, you know? Like, I feel like more people should say, you know what, I wanted to get that. Why is it embarrassing to be like, I work so hard, man, and you can't be, what's the word? You can't think you deserve everything, of course.
No.
But like, when you work really hard on something and like, you know it's good and other people know it's good, like, to not see recognition for it is disappointing, and he's open about that.
Yeah.
And I think it's like people want to be the ones to say it for you. Like, for instance, when Kendrick Lamar lost Best Rap Album to
Macklemore,
whoever that guy was.
Yeah.
And like,
I didn't. I said Macklemore so passionately.
Macklemore.
Yeah, it was Macklemore actually. And credit where credit's due on that one.
That's who you stand over.
Yeah.
Like, and it's like everybody's like, nah, come on, this is a travesty. Like, this is insane.
Yeah.
But he said nothing about it, so the people fought for him.
Yeah.
But had he come out and said, this is mad, I'm the greatest, my album was way better than that trash, you know? Yeah. Like, everyone would have been
but
like,
he obviously
he definitely knew that.
Kendrick,
you know?
Knows he's good, doesn't
he? Yeah, has to.
Yeah, so are you conscious of that as an artist yourself? Do you think about that? About how you present, like, for example, when you're talking to us now, is there any part of you that's thinking, I need to be careful what I say because of what I'm putting forward publicly or anything like that?
Do you know what? I used to be that way. I used to overthink everything, but that's just because I felt like, oh my God, I'm in this new world. I can't say the wrong thing or else this opportunity is going to be taken away from me. But now I'm just like, I'm actually not a mad person. Like, what am I really going to say?
Yeah.
I don't think crazy.
You got to back
things.
Yourself to not to not incriminate
becoming
yourself.
Becoming a character.
Yeah. You know it's just being myself. Yeah. People think I'm a sex offender. That's what I'm worried about. So I just sort of have to cover that up.
Exactly. Like, I don't do anything mad. I don't think anything mad. I don't think anyways. A lot of the stuff I think is fairly reasonable.
Yeah.
So
it is a good angle, yeah.
Might as well just relax and say what's on my mind.
But part of the problem is that people see so much more of artists now, right? Mm-hmm. Like during lockdown, there was that video that Madonna put up of her in a bath of milk.
It's terrifying, yeah.
Yeah,
what?
Absolutely horrible.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, so she was in a...
She's like sort of reciting.
I don't know what milk it was.
But she,
yeah, it might have been. I hope it's oat milk. I don't know why that sort of makes it
sprinkled
better.
Everywhere.
Right? Yeah, and she's...
Well,
and
then, oat milk doesn't give you thrush, so that's... Sorry, that's a lady
exclusive.
Yeah. Oat milk doesn't give you thrush.
It helps prevent thrush.
It helps prevent thrush, yeah. Because there's lots of things that don't give you thrush.
Yeah, sorry, prevent. You've got a chronic thrush issue.
thrush saved my life.
One of the things I love about these headphones is they don't give you thrush. but Madonna's probably doing that shit. She's probably... doing that on a weekly, but you just don't have that. Yeah, yeah. You don't have social media, but you know what I mean? It's like you get exposed so much more. Politicians have that problem now. They get heard speaking so much more. Do you know what I mean? It's that thing, isn't it? But I do think, but sometimes I'm going to be honest, sometimes I say shit and I think I shouldn't have said that. And then I think I should ask them to take that at the edit. Then I get nervous that they're going to think that I'm like being overly protective. Yeah. And then it goes out.
Mm. Yeah.
And then somebody tweets me going, I thought you came across like a real cunt on that.
I'm sorry about that tweet.
Yeah, that's right. It's just good when your mate, if you can't get it from your mates, who can you get it from? This is the other thing. So do you own Kanye clothing?
Yes.
Are you a Yeezy purchaser?
Yeah. Do you know what's funny? I was actually going to wear my Yeezus shirt today. Then I was like, I'm going to look really keen. Really keen for this hip hop stuff. Just leave it out.
Cap on sideways, Yeezus. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, no. But I think I've bought most of his merch from... was it Graduation? The one where he made the shades, you know, the glasses. That was friggin' iconic because you can't see shit through those.
You've got those?
Yeah, I got them in different
colours. So they actually make you partially sighted, do they?
Yeah, you can't see anything. Okay. But it's
worth
it. It's a look.
It's so worth it. It's a look, not for you because you can't see, but it's a look for other people.
It's a look for other people. Mm. But yeah, I've, the T-shirts, everything, yeah.
It's just difficult though, isn't it? Because I've bought Yeezys and then I think to myself, I've got to check the news to see what he said today before I decide whether to wear these on.
Just have a Google news.
Because, you know, what I don't want is to be seen wearing Yeezys the day he said slavery is a choice.
That wasn't a good day. For us Kanye fans, that wasn't a good day for me.
Is his Gap range out yet? Has that been launched?
Not until he's on the board.
What?
He said not till he's on the board of directors.
You said that like you were his fucking... one of his representatives. Let me tell you this, Rupert. Not till he's on
no
the board.
No more questions. No more questions.
Yeah. So, what do you think about that Gap thing?
I mean, rightly
you
so.
You think you can do anything? I know.
No, wait. What's the Gap thing?
He's bringing out a Gap range.
Yeah. I just feel like the guy's an influential guy. Like, look at how he... like catapulted Adidas into a different space, I think, and to become a bit more fashionable. And I feel like that's off his influence, off his ideas, his creative. And so credit where credit is due. Like if he is reinventing brands, do you know what I mean? He clearly knows what he's doing.
You'd check it out, wouldn't you? I would.
Would I check out what? The Gap
when it launches, yeah.
Yeah, I cannot believe that we're the people that they want to be on board with it. But yeah, I'd check it out.
I'd check it out.
Do you buy all of his shoes?
No.
Okay. What did you think of the foam runners?
I think those are cool, you know.
Okay, this is like, come on.
They're Crocs, but new.
Yeah. What?
They're Crocs, but
new.
Yeah,
but nobody... Yeah, but Crocs are horrible.
Yeah.
But... but these are cool though.
Have you got them?
No, I don't have them.
But I would
get them. Yeah, wow. I would get them.
Right.
You're speaking. I'm not ever going to denounce anything.
No, I'm getting that. I mean, you're backing up the foam runner. So, that
with the right fit, yeah, that'll slap.
Okay, all right. Well, listen, when you come back on the podcast, wear them.
Yeah.
We'll judge.
Yeah.
With the foam runners, I've got to be honest with you, because I've got a few Yeezys, right, and I do like them, and my wife sort of is like, these shoes, that you've just convinced yourself that these shoes are nice.
They're cool, yeah.
With the foam runners, if Kanye had said, comes out tomorrow and goes, I was just joking. Are you serious? Did you really think I thought those were good? I wouldn't be.
I do think, though, I think some of what he does is to kind of show.
Prove a point.
Yeah, to prove a point. Yeah. Like, I feel like, not even, I feel like, I think that is the basis of the Off-White brand by Virgil Abloh,
yeah,
is to kind of just show people how materialistic we are, that if you slap a label on something or just write like shoes, yeah, people will buy it just because it's that.
I fell victim for that. I've got a pair of Converse that have got laces written on the laces and fucking soul.
Yeah.
Left and
side.
Right.
It's insane.
To the point where, like, he'll make, a Converse and it'll be very normal, exactly, yeah, the same as Converse, but there'll just be like a red tag attached to it and it'll say shoe. And suddenly,
yeah,
what the hell?
I know.
Like, a next price, but people buy into that.
I know. It's so weird, isn't it? It's like
it's
an
a
experiment.
Trick. It is an experiment to be like, how far can I go?
Yeah. It's so mad. It is mad.
Oh, man. Hip hop gripes.
Is there anything about hip hop that you don't like?
Kanye West.
Never. Do you know what? I'm going to say degrading women. Mm. Degrading women. As a woman, sometimes I listen to the stuff and I'm like, this is a bit much. It's a bit too far. Like, I'm not even going to repeat certain things. I thought of a certain lyric, but like, I'm just like, it's too far. It's too far. And I think it just adds to, especially within my community, disrespect for black women. It's like, oh, there's my bitch and my hoe and whatever, and kick her to the curb, and she ain't worth nothing if she ain't sucking my dick right. It's like,
yeah, you remember a lot of the phrases. Somebody hates it. You brought that up quick.
There was more to come.
There was more to come.
Really feel like we stopped you in your flow. You're really finding your rhythm on that, aren't you?
Oh gosh. Yeah.
It's, how much can you distance yourself from that? We had Lenny James on the podcast, and he can't abide the use of the N-word in hip hop, right? And so, and obviously that's a problem if you listen to hip hop, you know. And I said to him, "Can you still listen to it?" You know, and he said to me, "I have to be in the mood." He said, "Like I was in," he said he was in a taxi and they started playing Kendrick, and he'd asked the guy to, even though he thinks Kendrick's a genius and he loves Kendrick, he said, I just wasn't in the mindset. I wasn't in a frame of mind to be able to be listening to what I consider to be such a horrible word.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And he doesn't agree with that ownership of it and all that.
Yeah.
So when you're listening to that kind of stuff, degrading women and stuff, are you able to sort of go, this is entertainment, I can sort of detach myself from this? Or do you think, fuck you for saying this? Or
yeah, no, most of the time I detach myself from it because I'm just so desensitized most of the time because I've been hearing it for so many years. But it's when the lyrics cross a line like that, I'm like, whoa, that's a bit rapey. Or whoa, that's like a bit violent. Like, kick the bitch in the stomach or whatever. I'm like, what? Like, there are certain things that alarm me and I'm like, you know, I can't listen to this. And certain artists I won't listen to because I feel like it's not even them just, I don't know, being creative or just going with the flow and making music. Like, you actually hate women. And that's clear in your music. Yeah.
I mean, and then you sort of think to yourself, it must say something about you if you find that entertaining.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And also it normalises that, you know, because that's hyper-violence, hyper-sexualised violence. And you sort of think that should be shocking.
Yeah.
And then when it's used all the time, then that kind of language becomes more and more normalised. And
yeah,
100%. There are all the repercussions of that, right?
And, like, people actually, like, digest that stuff a lot. And even now, like, in female rap, like, the tables have turned, and so women are now like degrading men, like he's not worth anything if he's not buying me this or doing that for me. All guys are worth is about to go into loads of lyrics.
No, I can keep going. Yeah, you are even more passionate about this.
Yeah,
son.
I'm definitely more passionate about this.
All guys are worthless and shit. They're nothing but a dick on legs. I fucking hate them.
Literally, that's now the new like thing to say and to talk about, you know, getting a bag off a guy.
Yeah.
And like, I listen to that stuff. I'm entertained by that stuff. Might be a bit sexist, but
I don't think it is though, you know, because it's been so much the other way for such a fucking long time. Yeah. That we are we're nowhere near the point at which things are even again. Do you know what I mean? So I just think I know what you're saying. You're being fair-minded in your arguments, but I just don't, that sort of thing. If it was the other way, you know, it's the other way. Like, fuck off.
Yeah,
it's just bullshit.
No. But I think where I'm like, oh, it's a bit sticky, is where I see. I'm gonna sound like an old person. I'm a young woman as well, but when I hear younger girls than me, I should say, saying certain things or like seeing how it changes their mentality.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, so I was in a nail shop and there was this girl next to me in her school uniform, so she can't be more than 15 or whatever.
Right.
And she's with her friend. She's like trying to ring someone a couple of times and she's like, oh, da-da-da's not answering up. Whatever, man, I'm just going to call my other guy. And I thought, wow, you have another guy. She didn't say my other guy. She said my side N. And I thought, rah, at 50 or maybe even 40, you have a side guy? Yeah. I didn't even have a main guy when I was that age. But the way she said it, it just reminded me of that. That's what's in that music. You know what I mean? Like, oh, he's my side guy, whatever. It does this for me. Oh, if you're not serious, whatever, I'll kick you to the curb and I get a new thing. And I'm for that. But then seeing how it influences women now, or even I would say, that stuff isn't as bad as like telling people to have sex for money.
Right, I'm like,
guys, we're promoting prostitution now. Like, this is a bit mad. It's a bit mad to be like, yeah, make sure that he flies you out and does you this. And then guess what? If you spend money on me, you can get this pussy. It's a bit much. It's a bit much.
Yeah. I mean, that sounded like an advert.
Yeah. We'll put a little sting under it.
Yeah. Fly me out, pay me this money. You can get this pussy. Oh my God. Well, listen, we're sort of out of time.
Yeah.
You have been, what a fabulous guest, Rupert.
Best guest yet.
Oh, wow.
Loved it.
Cause a stir.
What do you want to I mean, we know you got your album, your video's out today.
My
single's
video is out today. It's called Lovesick.
And the album's coming out in the first half of next year, apocalypse dependent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And when are you going to release the wrong video, the video that didn't work out?
Boy,
that's what we want to see.
I mean, we've got Label Reps in the room. Let's just around the keep album. That one quiet.
You should do it on Patreon.
Yeah.
You should, if enough people drop a fiver on your PayPal,
you'll release it.
Yeah. So that's what you should
do. I should start a GoFundMe, you know. Yeah, why have no artists started GoFundMes to be like, pay for my music
comedians
video?
Comedians have been fucking trying to milk that tea.
Yeah.
Fucking years. Mm. Oh, I've got this show that I'm doing. I've had this idea about a sponge and I want to do an hour thing. Unfortunately, nobody's willing to promote it or willing to come and see it. Please, could you donate so that I can bring this to the public? Fuck off.
You will also get 2 hours of extra material.
Yeah.
Of me in the dressing room.
You get if you contribute this much, you get the book that accompanies it, The Sponge Diaries. Please do support.
The Sponge Diary.
But you should do that. Yeah. You should do that. That'd actually be good. That'd actually be good. Listen, thank you so much for joining us, man. Best of luck with everything. Listen, we'll come see you at a show if the apocalypse doesn't happen. But yeah, we'll see you next time. Bye bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.